to include LGBTQIA plus questions in the next national census, and warmer weather is changing the behaviour of the country's wildlife. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson of the latest from NIRS News. The federal government is being urged to change its mind on not including questions regarding sexuality and gender in the next national census. Speaking to the ABC, Independent MP Allegra Spender says including the questions would help governments form policies.
How do we make good public policy decisions? And we do that if we've got the right data. You know, we know that certain situations or issues affect the LGBTQ community more than others. Take, for instance, MPOX. You know, we know that affects bisexual and gay men more than other parts of the community. So when in trying to buy vaccines and making sure they get to the right regions in the country, you know, we need to know the sort of numbers broadly.
Consistent warmer weather is changing the behaviour of the country's flora and fauna, with flowers blooming and birds singing earlier than ever. Associate Professor Rachel Gallagher from Western Sydney University has told the ABC climate change will affect all of Australia's animals and plants differently.
You know, we have a range of species that will be really heavily impacted by changes in climate, some that are less capable of adapting to changes in the environment. And others that will be winners, others that, you know, for them, having a longer breeding season means they might get multiple clutches of eggs hatched in that time or multiple cohorts of flowers produced.
Former US President Donald Trump could face a new indictment in his election interference case. Mr. Trump was initially charged with four offences relating to his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. In the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity, Special Counsel Jack Smith has filed an amended document with the original charges, which has been presented to a new grand jury.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding.
Prosecutors argue Mr. Trump did not have any constitutionally assigned presidential duties during the transition to Joe Biden's administration, while he was attempting to overturn the 2020 result. An indictment can only be issued out when a grand jury finds enough evidence to formally charge someone of a crime. A play about the climate crisis engulfing the Torres Strait Islands will feature in this year's Brisbane Festival, which kicks off this week. Award-winning choreographer and performer Genoa Gila created the work about four Torres Strait Islander women who battle the rising tide threatening their home, culture and identity. Gila says she wants everyone who sees the play to wonder about what would happen to their identity if the physical place that holds their ancestral foundations disappeared. She says Torres Strait Islanders have known about rising oceans for generations, and it's time Australians realise the potential impact.
And all of the stories and all of the songs and dances that my parents taught us growing up, you know, they're heavily orientated deeply within me. So when I go back to country, I know those places from the stories that have been told to me. So, you know, so it's this one step removed, but it deeply affects me because everything that I know of the place is what my parents have told me. So that feeling of not having a physical place to go to see what my parents were talking about, or to see how my parents lived and experienced life when they were growing up, you know, it is horrifying.
And moving to sport, final preparations are underway for the Paralympic Games in Paris. The opening ceremony will begin at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning Australian time. And while many Australian athletes will be in attendance, Western Australian Paralympic swimmer Alex Saffy says he'll be watching from the sidelines. The 18-year-old Bunbury product is one of the 30 athletes who will compete for Australia in the swimming team. Saffy and most of the swimmers will be preparing for their events, so they won't be at the game's opening. The Commonwealth Games silver medalist has told 1RPH he has prepared well and is hopeful he can meet expectations.
If I can put it all together on the day, which is pretty difficult. As you saw in the Olympics, some people can't put it together on the day, some people can, so it's all about just managing your performance.
And that is the latest from NIRS News.
Celebrate our oldest living culture and contemporary creative expressions. YUMI Arts Annual Big Talk One Fire Festival, Saturday, the 7th of September at Munro Martin Parkway.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, Bill and Dunham, welcome to Black Hawk Tribal Edition. Murumu here, and we're broadcasting from the Yidinji government office today, and joining me is Yirilim and Ganyara. Of course, this week is going to be a massive one for the Yidinji Nation because we're hosting the Intertribal Foreign Affairs Council Forum, and there'll be representatives coming to the Yidinji Territory from all places, the Waka Waka Nation, representatives from there, the Birriggubba Nation, well, and many others. There's the Yuru, Juru, Grumpal, mob from the desert region of South Australia. We've got some people from Northern Territory and WA coming as well in those areas. And it's going to be pretty big and very exciting. And, of course, you can hear it all day coming this Friday. From Bumabibra Media 98.7 FM, and you can listen to that online anywhere around the world. And we do have world leaders and speakers on certain subject matters, and that's going to be awesome. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that a little bit, and I think maybe let's go through some of the names here that may not be familiar with a lot of people, but Yirilim, I think we've got some really key people that have been attracted to the Yidinji way, because it's all about inclusivity, it's relatively frictionless, but more importantly, it's about asserting the rights of the Indigenous people. In this case, it's the Yidinji Nation.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, it's about an alternative, because if you look at the current state of affairs in Australia and the way everything operates there, you know, you could say, you know, there's certainly, as Ganyara has pointed out many times, that, you know, the White Australia policy is one of the things that started many of the processes that are currently happening, and apparently it's not there. It's not. Is it still there, mate, the White Australia policy? Is it written down somewhere still amongst all those documents? And it's supposed to be for everybody. It's supposed to be equal. And, you know, maybe the wording does allow that to happen. But you've got people that operate it that are not acting that way, whether it be, you know, 10% or 20%. But there is a lot of people who aren't acting in the right capacity as human beings. And as you just said, Murumu, the Yidinji people are about inclusivity. And moving forward that way is what it's all about.
Yeah, well, look, it's funny you mentioned, is it written down anywhere that Australia is not the White Australia policy anymore? Actually, you mentioned that it's not. It's not written down anywhere where it was taken out. It was written down where it was the White Australia policy. But I can't find anywhere where they said, they have actually categorically stated that the White Australia policy is over and done with. It's dead, it's finished, it's whatever. They use the word multiculturalism, of course, these days, but they still are not saying that the other side is done and dusted, it's finished. The White Australia policy is based on the norms of a colonial empire, a manifestation of colonialism. You look at all Australian legislation, and I'll tell you now, there is even legislation inside Queensland, for example, that goes back to the 1600s in the UK. There are links back to there. So there is Australian legislation that is tied directly now to the UK. Still there in place. They have not done away with all these imperial acts. So Australia is the white Australia policy is still there, and it's led by white fellas at the very top. I don't see one black fella at the Prime Minister's desk. I do not see one black fella at the next level down.
Well, even if there was, I mean, you know, there have been, and I'm not having a go at them or any judgment of that, but it's a majority, and Noel Pearson said this many years ago, it's the 97% elephant versus the 3% mouse, and he got that right. It's like me creating a game. I'm allowing everyone to have equal rights in that game, but I control the game. I can. It's not, you know, I'm the umpire and the executioner and everyone else.
You're the owner of the game.
Exactly, and that's where Udingi is changing that narrative, in that we're saying we'll look after ourselves. Udingi already owned this game, so let's keep playing it because it's been played for thousands of years.
That's the only way that it can change, it seems like, because the game doesn't allow you to change the game. So the 97% keep at the 97%. And so Udingi may be consisting of 3%, but it's always 100%. Udingi is always 100%.
But someone said there's coexisting games. There's two games here. So which one do you want to play in? You want to play in the one where you're the minority, or do you want to play in the one where you're the majority?
Yeah, it's pretty absolutely pretty simple, really, when you think about it. But at the end of the day, people are still working that out. But I think, and I just thank God that the Udingi people are awake and have kept the law going, because that's a very important thing that allows us to enjoy this space here as Udingi government ministers and officials, to actually create that interface between the tribe and the rest of the world to say, hey, we've got our game, this is how we play it here.
Well, look, this thing this weekend, this intertribal forum, it's about getting the word out to all those who are willing to understand this stuff, you know, the place to be. Understand what the Udingi way is, understand how we're working this and why we're doing it our way. Understand that when you stay inside Australia, you will be in the 3%, and you will be looked down upon, by the way, by a vast majority of these so-called normal people. You know, where I come from, you know, in our part of the world there, it was the highest recorded no vote for the referendum. And look, fair enough, we understand what the referendum was about, but it is showing that there is the racist hand at play there as well. You know, every blackfella gets a brand new Toyota every year and a brand new house every 2 years, and they have to pay for a thing. You know, it couldn't be any further from the truth. You know, these are the down and out people that everyone thinks are getting a brand new Toyota or a brand new house. Why don't you stop playing the game where you're only the 3% and everyone looks down upon you, start playing the real game where you are the TO, not a TO, the proper owner of the country. And I mean, your nation owns the country, not the individual, because you're part of the nation. Otherwise, you end up with problems like what's in, you know, Northern Territory at with this recent election they had. You know, now they're talking about, you know, the local mob over there just got their hand out again. You know, they just got out and they're expecting stuff and all this sort of stuff, and they do really stick it to the poor Murrays. You know, how many Aboriginal kids are in custody over there? What's the percentage of the population in custody, of kids in custody? What percentage of those kids are Aboriginal? What percentage of those kids are white fellas? You know, this is the question, guys. Why are there so many Aboriginal kids in custody compared to the rest of the population? You know, out of the 3% of the people that make up the population of Australia, why is the vast majority of those kids in the Northern Territory prison in jail?
Yeah, any child born into this world isn't inherently born as a criminal, right? So, but they're born into a game or a system that can be seen as putting them back a little bit, and not fully disclosed, let's say, all the rules of the game hasn't been explained in a way that people can understand quite easily.
Well, I'll go one step further with that about not born to be criminals. Of course they're not. But they're also not born to be racist. So, you know, we're now going to turn the table on, you know, the Aboriginal kids. When they are born, they aren't criminals, period. They're not racist. But same with the other side, with the rest of the 97%, those little kids that are born, those children, are not racist. Where do they develop this mindset, though? That's the question you've got to ask. How do they develop their mindset that the Aboriginal kids are no more, are no longer equal to us, you know, where they start to see them as inferior. Where do they see this coming from? And that's got to be handed down from policy, from the so-called governments of the world. Why aren't the government there serving the people? Why aren't they there doing the servants' work? Instead, the government is looking down upon everyone now as criminals, you know, especially the Aboriginal people, where the race card is played at law enforcement, for example. As you said earlier there, Urulam, you know, in a conversation we were having about Queensland, you know, about law enforcement, you know, about where are the most Aboriginal people shot? Where are the most people shot?
Queensland's winning, not just against any other state, but you've got to add all the other states together, and Queensland still beats it. So you tell me, I don't know. It's a bit, it's all Mareeba. Queensland was Mareeba, is that what it was?
Well, very, very close to it. But, you know, there was that Aboriginal lad shot there a while back there, and I haven't seen anything in the media about what were the consequences for the police officer that shot that young fellow. What were the situations? What it was all about? So, you know, you're playing in a game where it's stacked against you. If you're of Indigenous heritage, it's stacked against you. What are you going to do about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is what we're coming to, obviously, for the last couple of years now, building the house of the Yidinji Nation to an acceptable level where international recognition and acknowledgement has been surpassed. Now we've done that, we're moving forward to make sure that we have our own means of subsistence, a digital currency, our ID, so we can interface with the rest of the world, and that can be done. And that's what we're showing the rest of the tribal groups that come this weekend to have a look at how we did it and why we did it. It doesn't mean we know everything. It doesn't mean that everything we do is successful. But the intention of self-autonomy and inclusion, mind you, because if you're black or white, it doesn't really matter. For the Yidinji Nation, if you want to become a member of the government, then by all means, I mean, the elders, you were there, Ganyara, when they revitalised the law and met many, many years ago. And, you know, anyone who lives on this territory up this way can become, if they want, a Yidinji national or a citizen. What does that mean? It means that, you know, you want to help look after the place, and as neighbours we should be looking out for each other, just like when a cyclone comes. How are you going? You know, you go check on your neighbour, everything all right? I mean, that's the type of ethos that we have here. It's not rocket science, but it works because it's worked for many thousands of years.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's also, I was there at all of these things, right in the very start of it, and it was not about throwing the Australians out. The 97%. It was about giving them somewhere to come back to, call their homeland. We know our homeland. We know exactly where our territory is. Where's their homeland? We aren't like the British that look down upon people. You know, we're not the black empire. You know, it's none of that stuff. There's no black policy in us. You know, it's no black Yidinji policy. We're not the exact opposite of them. What we are is we're trying to give them something to come back to as well. Come back to be part of our world. We want to be joining up this thing. And this is what it's all about. There is no colour politics involved in Yidinji. Black, white, brindle, it doesn't matter. We're all of mixed race, mixed heritage, whatever you want to call it, because if we go back far enough in time, and I mean we go back far enough in time, right to the very day dot, the day it started, we're all going back to there somewhere. We are related to each other.
Yeah, and that's a very important thing. But also, we understand that God has given this piece of territory to the Yidinji Nation because the language is used here the same way that we can't claim Kukuyalanji country or other places. But the most important part of that is being the best host in the world, and that's what we want to do. So it doesn't matter where you're from, the elders and the families that we represent truly want to welcome people and look after them and provide them with a really good experience. And if they choose to live here and have their children here, then that's a beautiful thing too, because we want people here to make this city and this territory fantastic.
You mean compersion, that sort of word like that, where you're really happy if someone else is happy. And this is what Yidinji are all about. You were people get mixed up in the world of legality and humans. The real world out there, the nature out there, where we're just like any other animal. We're born, we live, we die. And then there's the legal system. The two aren't one. They aren't one and the same thing. There's two different worlds there. Who said the British had the right to bring their law here, which is actually against all the international norms now? Because they said back in 1960, all forms and manifestations of colonialism must leave quickly. Don't drag it out for the next 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Get rid of it straight away. It needs to go. And yes, Australia was decolonised. Yes, the manifestation of colonialism in Australia, by the way, the Commonwealth of Australia has gone. But the manifestation itself is still here. That's called the Commonwealth of Australia. We were the ones that were colonised, not Australia. This is the problem. So they've left this legal system here that's stacked against the Aboriginal people. You know, I see all these media commentators saying how bad the blackfellas are, how they should leave their homelands and get into the city. And, you know, all the problems will be left behind out there. It won't be. The legal system of Australia has no legal foundation to be here. That needs to be corrected before anything else gets done. So where do we go from here? That's the question we've all got to ask, you know, and this is why Yidinji is doing exactly what it's doing.
Yeah, and the Intertribal Foreign Affairs Council Forum that you can listen to live all day on this coming Friday on Bummer Bipra Media 98.7 FM, and I believe that parts of it will be offered to the National Indigenous Radio Service as well. That will be an important vehicle to drive home these messages of self-autonomy, settlement, and the security of the future. Obviously, the Yidinji Nation, one of the very first laws on, I think it was November the 10th, there a long time ago now, it was the Protection of the Commonwealth of Australia Act, where we as a government wanted to protect the Commonwealth of Australia. And you can see that being reflected in our actions and in our laws, because most people that carry an identity on our territory are Australians. That's a fact. We can't change that. So we want to protect them too. But we're using the Yidinji law to double up on that. What's missing is the treaty, obviously. But that's coming. You know, we build it, and that's the mechanism. So it's one thing to identify an issue, Yirrlum, but to actually build a remedy for that is going, once you've identified something, you should be able to fix it.
Well, yeah, that's the most common thing I hear all the time is, you know, the complaints about the way things are and the word that, you know, they need to fix it. Well, I don't know who they is. You know, for most people, no matter what your originality is, there isn't an option. Or that to this point, you know, until in 2013, when the Yidinji government was created to make it visible to the outside world, because as you know, we've said so many times, Yidinji's been here for tens of thousands of years. It's just that it's been put on paper. And since it's been on paper, there is now an opportunity for choice. It wasn't there before for anybody. And that's sort of, you know, for me, the biggest thing that the Intertribal Forum that's going to happen on Friday and Saturday is pushing and helping everyone else move forward with is another choice.
Yeah. Ganyara, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know that this is the thing there. In 2015, you wrote that wonderful document called Yidinji the Remedy, outlining exactly what we're speaking about.
Of course, if you make a problem, if you see a problem, don't raise that, don't raise the head of it unless you've got a remedy for that problem. This is so important, you know, just let it be. If you haven't got a remedy for what's there, don't say it. But we wrote that for a reason, you know, just tell Australia that this is why we're coming back. This is why we're doing it, not only for our own sovereignty. And, you know, as you said a bit earlier there, that most people are Australian as well as Yidinji. What it is, they hold the human whole membership in the coexisting sovereignties, the one that Uluru Statement talks about. And this is what the remedy is all about. How do we let those legal identities coexist on this one place? Not the human. Remember, the human is not the identity. This is so important to understand. We aren't that person. We use a person. We're seen legally and politically through the person to participate in a society. Yet we have coexisting societies here, which is an impossibility if you talk about sovereignty. Sovereignty is the ultimate authority over a piece of land anywhere in the world. Whose sovereignty is it? But they said at the Uluru that our sovereignty was first, and it's been here for 60,000 years, and that it's still here, and that it's unceded, and it's not extinguished. but how did Australia get control of the ability to produce identity for the humans to be seen in? They didn't sort that out. So the remedy is to do a treaty, a formal agreement, which, by the way, 17th of August 2017, we dragged our sorry hides to Canberra, walked into the big building down there, met with the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, said, this appears to be the roadmap forward. How about we offer this through an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, to move forward on this issue that Australia does not legally and lawfully have any basis to be here imposing its laws upon our people, or humans for that matter, that have to be seen through the Australian identity. Now, later that year, it was said to us, look, you're probably 30 to 40 years ahead of all the other people in the Indigenous issue, the treaty stuff. They're going to go down the state-based treaty road for a start. State-based treaties, as said by Professor Craven and Anne Toomey, they are nonsense. They are absolute rubbish, for they will not be treaties in the true sense of the word, nations that will not exist, and treaties that have no binding ability, because the Commonwealth of Australia can supersede, can get rid of, can take over, abolish whatever the state treaties are. If they go against the will of Australia, they can get rid of them. So that's what I'm saying. State-based treaties are rubbish. We said this to Canberra in 2017. We'll say it today. The remedy is that the Aboriginal people come back as their nation, in their true capacity and standing, create the identity to be seen through. The humans that participate in that society can be seen through the legal identity of the Aboriginal society, and they can then go and negotiate and talk to the Commonwealth of Australia and offer Australia the treaty. Australia cannot offer the Aboriginal people a treaty. They got nothing to offer. What? Well, like you just said, act sovereign.
Act sovereign.
Well, how can the Australians act sovereign if they don't have real connection to here? And there was a judgment handed down recently in the ICJ that when you're under occupation, there's a Middle Eastern case, when under occupation, the occupant that comes in to occupy your country cannot break up your world. It does not gain sovereignty. Didn't the Uluru Statement from the Heart mention coexisting sovereignty? I wonder what's going on here. Maybe the Aboriginal nations are under occupation, and an occupation should end quickly. If you're there to resolve a political issue through the means of warfare, which is what occupation is, then they should be resolved quickly and let the original people come back to their sovereignty, to where it really is. But we've had 200 years of this stuff where we haven't been returned back to our correct place. And what's the norm of the international society? The norm is, let's use UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, where we can coexist, where we can go back and revitalise our stuff, which is exactly what we're doing, which is part of the reason for this forum, so we don't end up like what's being said over in the Northern Territory, or like Yiralam State mentioned earlier there, about being shot at by police because you don't conform with their law. You know, this is crazy stuff that's going on. We're trying to remedy this situation by creating the office, by creating the citizenship, by creating the departments that can then treaty and negotiate with Australia to give it legality to be here.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumma Bumma Media 98.7 FM. We'll be back after the break. Yes, welcome back to the show. Black and All Tribal Edition is the name of the program, and we're talking about, very excited by the way, on the Intertribal Foreign Affairs Forum happening this weekend in the city of Gemo on the Yidinji Territory, and we've got a lot of people coming from the different nations and clan groups of those nations. I think the Kabi Kabi, Grumpal, Waka Waka, Birigubba, Juru, there's a Kowarig, and a few more. Too many to mention. The Ma from, I think, the Australian description is Victoria, Eastern Victoria, or Western Victoria, I'm not too sure. But we'll find out more because obviously they're doing their national presentations, and this will be very, very exciting to hear about these mob, the tribes, where they're from and what they're up to. And I think, Ganyara, one of the interesting things was your panel, which is has a number of people, yourself, Matt Kvartrup, who we've had on the program before, Asmi Wood, who's been here in this office as well, and Caroline Mertobi, looking at Indigenous statehood and recognition and the international instruments that will help make that become a reality for not only us, but for some of the people that are attending the forum.
Well, look, you've got to understand the Indigenous issue is global, not just here. You know, Asmi actually got it correct the other day, last year when we were down in Canberra at the ANU, you know, the Australian National Uni, and he said to a group there that the new paradigm is here. The new paradigm is the Yidinji way of things. It's here, so yes, people got to accept what it is, you know, that we are correct. It was said that we are right. You know, there's no two ways about that. The new paradigm is here. That's us. So he's going to be speaking there as well. I agree with what Asmi Wood said, that, you know, he's no fool at this game, by the way. You know, he's very learned. He's come from one of the Indigenous nations up in the Torres Strait. But there's the other bloke, you know, Kvartrup there. You know, when you start to look at what he writes about, he's by the way, from England, you know, from the UK. And what he writes about there about Breaking Free, that's the book he wrote. It's a good book to get. Everyone should read it just to see what it's all about. But we're not wanting to form the two-state solution here, you know. He's talking about if we want to break free of Australia and become a UN member state, we don't want to go there, but he has a very good perspective on how hard and difficult this job is, you know, to build your nation. It's not going to just, you know, you build it and then they're going to start throwing money at you. You know, there's no way, because we actually create the money. A lot of people believe that the minute you create your nation, the rest of the world will crumble to you. And there was a Supreme Court decision in Queensland a few years back there where it's not so much how much sovereignty the state's going to give you, it's how much you're going to take for yourself. So you've got to assert your sovereignty. It's not going to be given to you. You assert it.
Otherwise it would have been done a long time ago if it was that easy, I think. But the issue is here, the recognition is a really big part of the conversation. And UNDRIP... some of the other international instruments, self-determination, the UN Charter is really big.
Well, if you go and read the conventions, you know, about human rights, basically, it says there that everyone has a right to self-determination. Everyone. No ifs, no buts about it. And then you go and read Resolution 1514 and 1960, that all forms and manifestations of colonialism must go back home to where it come from. And if you don't, you're acting contrary to the Charter of the UN. And Australia believes in the rule of law and the global order, and it's a member of the UN, yet it doesn't want to believe in that part. So it's acting contrary to the Charter that recognises Australia's own existence. So this is what I'm talking about. You know, this is crazy stuff out there that Australians believe they have the right to be here. They don't. Now, there's also Carolyn Mertobi. You know, if you look at her, she's an international lawyer who goes to a lot of the international forums, and she's very pro-environment, very pro what we want to do. You understand the stuff that's going on here. But she's in the Caribbean area. So she's no fool. You know, she's very much for this. And over there, by the way, I must say, recently, probably 6 or 8 months ago, that England must start to pay reparations for the slavery that occurred for, you know, the families that were taken from Africa and jammed over there, you know, and so they were given a severe disadvantage, and they were used by the plantation owners, you know, so those people were really set back, just like the Aboriginal people here. They've been set back 200 years, and now the White Australia policy believes that they should be up to speed, up to the same standard as those who are so far advanced, which is why I said earlier at the show, I don't see any black prime minister. because the black prime minister has been that, a black fellow has been that far disadvantaged, he can never make prime minister at this stage of the white Australia. So how can he advance himself to get up to the same standard?
Oh, well, you know, bleaching, or maybe get a suntan, or go to a tanning salon.
there's a misconception too, and it's, you know, it's understandably how you're voicing it. But to get up to the standard, that's the problem. They are so far behind. The Australian standard is so far below what already existed here when they arrived. And so why would you want to, you know, strive to go down? You know, it's about lifting. You know, where Yidinji is here trying to help Australia catch up.
Which is exactly why we offered the remedy. We got to be back looking after ourselves, doing our stuff for the Australians to be here. This is what UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, Article 5 says, that the Indigenous people can revitalise all their stuff, and they can take part in Australia if they so want. But we've got to have a formal agreement, a power-sharing arrangement between the coexisting sovereignties that the Uluru Statement talks about. By the way, that was written by Australians. They were written by all people, of, you know, the scholars of Australia. And they said the sovereignty of our nation is still here.
Yes, and you know, in the 10 years we've been going at this, I've been involved for about 10 years, but obviously it started before that. But already, you know, Yidinji is making international waves at on various levels, especially not only in this space, that is Indigenous statehood, but also in other places, in recognition of our technologies and the way that we go about doing business. And, you know, we've had major UN member states describe us as a friendly state, a friendly nation, you know. And this is something that obviously that's their opinion. And I can't see us being adversarial or let's say violent or things like that. It's never been about that, Ganyara.
Well, how can we be called adversarial or anti-Australian if we offer to protect Australia and we've offered it a treaty and we've offered to bring it together with us? How can we be offered, you know, as bad people? How can we be put up as bad people when we're saying to all Australians, you've got a right to be here with us? But, you know, you've got to accept it. You said earlier there that we protect Australia, but if Australia doesn't want protecting, what do we do? That's the question we've got to ask. What do we do as the nation now, as the Yidinji nation? If they don't want protection, that's upon their shoulders, not us. We're trying to do the right thing by Australia. They are, at this stage, trying to hold back, because the minute they recognise us, they've actually... Dylan Leno in 2022 made an interesting statement that under international law and Australian law, the sovereignty of the nation can't be done away with because they don't recognise us in the start. Yet at the same, in the same breath, he said, under Indigenous law, we exist no matter what Australia with the international law says. So our sovereignty is still here. You know, that's a conundrum that they've got to address, not us. We know we exist here. We're trying to offer them a solution. We're the good guys. We're the good ones that are trying to give Australia something for free, not for one Australian dollar. We're actually making the money, by the way, that underwrites the Commonwealth of Australia, because as in Mabo, they said there, the nation, the Commonwealth of Australia was underwritten by the Aboriginal people when they took the land parcel by parcel by parcel. So we backed Australia all the way. Now, we don't want to take that off the average mum and dad. Would we be that cruel and mean to do that? No, we're trying to offer the connection to root title, to our root title, so there's no more first-in-time title that can be given to someone else, so that every mum and dad has got somewhere to say, look, this is my piece of land that I worked hard to get. And that's part of a treaty. This is what we're trying to do. So are we the good guys or the bad guys?
Yes, well, you know, obviously that's a very, very... It's in the eye of the beholder. Obviously, we see ourselves as the good guys, but at the end of the day, only time will tell as to what will happen to the other side of this equation. Yirralum, we have that approach of doing things, but, you know, other nations may not take the same approach as Yidinji and exercise their sovereignty differently.
Absolutely, but that's more of an expression of their administration, how they choose to govern. That can be widely varied, but every other nation on this continent for tens of thousands of years have operated under the same social law. And it's about inclusivity. It's about caring, loving, inviting. It's about all those aspects that make have made the, all the nations of this continent prosperous for since the beginning of time, as Gunyara pointed out before. So if you don't follow the fundamental social laws that have been followed in this continent and by many other indigenous nations across the world, you only end up with distress, poverty, and want. And that's pretty much what the world's facing.
Well, just something to think about on what you just said there, Yirrkala. You know, we are trying to include Australia in this part of the world. We took it to Canberra in February this year, by the way. February this year, that should one of the other nations, be very careful, should one of the other nations want to go and do a deal with someone else, you know, an Indigenous nation whose sovereignty is unceded, unextinguished, and they want to go and do a deal with the mafia or one of the mobs, you know what I mean, to bring their protection in, their system of protection, bring it in. What will happen? What will happen to the Commonwealth of Australia? Will they have a legal basis to stand upon because they're acting contrary to the Charter of the UN? They're not very good when you're doing that. You're not really a nation. So if they're acting contrary to the Charter of the UN and the mafia come in to protect the Indigenous nation with all their ordnance and warfare, will Australia have a basis to stand upon? What will happen to the anarchy, you know, the chaos that will happen in that area? How about we do this properly? And look, I can't blame some of the mobs for wanting to do this, you know, because they've been pretty hammered by the white Australia policy over the years. You know, we talk about massacres, we talk about genocide, we talk about murder, all the stuff that's going on, the enslavement, you know, the stolen wages. Let's call it for what it is. That was slavery. You blackfellas go to work and we'll keep the money. You'll get food stamps, by the way, but we'll use some of those food stamps to feed our family. You know, the stolen generations. We'll take your kids and put them in our world so we can break your connection to country. We can break your lineage to language. We can break all your laws and wipe it out slowly. We'll assimilate you. You know, welcome to, you're now in part of us. You know, you can be an Australian. What a good thing to have, you know.
So Australia fails the nationhood test. Australia's failing the nationhood test and failing the human rights tests, failing the UNDRA. Is there anything that Australia is actually doing correctly?
No. I'm just trying to highlight the very obvious, you know. It's this serious, how crazy it really is. And yet some of the mob want to stay within Australia. Why not correct this problem right in the very start? And this is what we got to do.
Yeah, look, I've said this a number of times before. The reason why Australia is easygoing and peaceful is because of the blackfellas. And I can tell you now, because what came here wasn't easy and peaceful. It was very difficult. People were forced out of their homes, chucked on boats and carted over here like meat, because they stole a loaf of bread or whatever it may be. But the people who were controlling the game there wanted to control the game here, and here we are today. And, I can understand that there was also a stolen generation, but that doesn't mean that they get to run the game here. In fact, they should actually, in solidarity, be in line with the Yidinji people or whoever it may be to make sure that this never happens again.
How do we know it's their game? Look at who the monarch is. Look at who the head of state is. It's the one and the same dude now that's in charge of the UK. That's the head of UK. That's the head of Canada. That's the head of New Zealand, head of all these 15 Commonwealth countries. Have a look at who that is. That's their game. What happened to us? What happened to our people? Why were our people forced to be part of that manifestation? Why? What's going on? That's their game, yet they want to force it down our neck. They want to force our people to be seen through that identity so they can run their game.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, I don't have anything against Charles personally. I've never met the bloke, but we did give him a visa because that's what we do as a government. It's not like, you know, it's Pauline Hanson, or it doesn't really bother me who these people are. But, you know, if they ask for a visa and they come here and, yeah, well, why not? What are you doing here? What's the nature of your business? Okay, fair enough. Just don't kill people, you know. This is what every other nation does. They let people in through. Yep, no worries. You're here for cultural reasons. Yep, no worries. Here's your stamp. Have a great day. If you have any problems, call this person here or that person there. It's very, very simple. But I think what's coming for most of the collective West, as we described it here, is that it's going to get a bit shaky for them in the near future. And who's going to be there? Can you rescue us, or can you be our friends? It's the Indigenous nations. And that's why I'm saying Australia is easy going, fair dinkum. It's because of the blackfellas here. We never rose up in modern times with machine guns, screaming out, shooting people, bombing buildings like the IRA or, you know, or whoever it may be. You know, that's not our style. But at the same time, if we're not being heard, then we're going to let the paper do the talking for us.
Oh, you know, we have to. And this is where the education minister has got to be an important role ahead of him. How does he educate the Australians? You know, they don't want to listen to any other reasoning, so it's over to him now.
Yeah, well, it's hard to educate somebody who lives in fear. Yeah, that's the basic starting point, that Australia is refusing to, you know, step up to the plate, and that fear of losing. Yeah, because every interview that we've seen, you've spoken with that gentleman at Sky News, and you know, had crazy claims about you going back and wearing tribal gear, because you know, how dare you wear anything that, you know, has been created by the white society, and yet the white society that he's talking about is the one that has stolen all the resources to create what he's saying to you. So just, you know, what do you do?
I'll interject here very quickly. You want him to go back to Andrew wanted him to go back to tribal attire. He'd be locked up under whitefella law for public exposure.
And he's the one wearing our tribal attire when he's walking around in his house naked. So, like, you know, secretly he's a blackfella, you know, like he wants to be a blackfella walking around naked, having a bogey and all that kind of stuff. But on a serious note, you know, who cares about that stuff? The Queen at the time and Charles now don't walk around riding horse and cart and doing all that kind of stuff. They do it for ceremonial purposes, fair enough. You know, they're modernised. They jump on a plane. They go places.
But they're able to, because all the modernised things that they are able to use, you know, whether it be transport or clothing or whatever, has been taken from all the Indigenous nations around the world.
Yeah, and what is on their territory is subject to their territory's rule. I don't have an issue with that.
But UNDRIP clearly makes it very clear that the Indigenous people can use all the modern conveniences. It makes it very clear. Read the article. We'd have to go back to dugout canoes and spears. Use all the modern equipment you like, because you've got every right to do so.
Yeah, and that's fine too. Like, if you want to do dugout canoes, then why not? You know, but there might be a carbon tax on or some sort of tax that we're going to have to implement, you know, to stop people from doing that, you know. Just joking, but the thing is that you know, the other world might do that. The seriousness about this is that what is Yidinji? You know, when you think about it, it is a way of life, and the families here and all the historical hereditary families, you know, they know the lore, the stories, the seasons, the flowers, all that kind of stuff. They're involved with all that. And I think that's the beauty about sharing that information when it's ready en masse, because Australians, you know, yes, there is an issue there, but it's not with the majority of the Australian people. I can tell you that right now. It's a very, very select few people inside of the Commonwealth of Australia that are not disclosing this information in a way that's easy to understand to the rest of the world or to Australia. They continue to conduct business knowing that there is no treaty or no settlement. And you know, that needs to be sorted out. And I think it's very unfair that a majority of Australians don't know. And that's part of our job, is to bring them that information. Australia can't do that for the Yidinji Nation, for any other nation for that matter. The Indigenous nations now must step up to provide the majority of the world and Australians that information, that we're back for business, we're open, our house is here, this is who we are, be part of our story.
The Yidinji are about leadership. You know, if no one else wants to step up to the plate, we already have. And let's push it forward. Let's push this new paradigm. As was stated at ANU, let's push the new paradigm forward. We were told we're correct. There's no ifs or no. No, there's no argument about that. No ifs or no buts. We're correct. So we're pushing it forward. We're going to lead the way. And as a leader, you know, that hoeing the road is very hard. It is a difficult road to hoe. And we're going to do it, though. We've been at it now for quite a while. But we've got to remember one thing. We're all on this planet together. And it's the only planet we've got, by the way, where we can actually live on it. So let's all get together and look after the place. So we don't have to destroy the joint. You don't have to do the white fella thing, you know, and destroy it completely where we can't inhabit it.
Don't have to go to Mars.
No, we don't have to. We're going to be here and we've got to live here. So let's live together peacefully. Let's look after each other. And that's why I was saying about the word compersion, you know, be happy that someone else is happy. How can the politicians sit in their big building down there in Canberra and be totally happy that all Australians are not happy? The majority aren't happy. You know, they go to work as slaves. They're virtually imprisoned to their job because they've got to give this so-called money, this fake money thing to the Commonwealth of Australia. They believe in this fake stuff. Yet we all should be looking after each other's happiness. You know, how many people actually do really believe in that?
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break with some final comments. Okay, this is the final part of the show for this week. I'm very excited because we've got, in a few days, the Intertribal Foreign Affairs Council Forum being held here. I think it's about 20 different nations or more that are coming. There'll be around 100 people travelling who have, some of them have formed governments similar to Yidinji. And this is history in the making, which is why the lawyers are involved, because they can see this a mile away. Ganyara, exciting times. I can't stress that enough, because now is the time for unity. And that means anyone living on the Yidinji territory or these other mobs' territory, get involved with them, because it's going to make, by default, Australia stronger.
Oh, it'll be the only nation in the world that will have a proper treaty with the Indigenous people. Even the treaties in, you know, in countries like the US, Canada and New Zealand, they are not proper treaties. They're treaties, or they were treaties, but not with the correct people now. So we will do it correctly this time to ensure that all Australians have a right to be here. So, yeah, get involved. Give the local mob a hand. Don't think the mob are going to take your house off you. Like some of those inside the divisive media start to portray how bad the black people are. Getting the new Toyota every year, by the way, that I haven't seen any anywhere. I don't know one mob that's got a brand new Toyota sitting in their driveway every year without paying for it. So, you know, don't believe in what you hear in the divisive media. There's a lot of it out there. Give your local mob a hand, because they're the only ones that can give you surety of your house title. They're the only ones that can make you feel welcome on their country, because Australia, in its actions, is acting contrary to the UN, which really means it doesn't really want to be a member of the UN, so is it really legally recognised? Give the local mob a hand. And yes, this will be a world first, because most people are always seen through the identity of the state. You know, the American Indians are seen through the US identity. The Canadian, like those Indigenous people are seen through the identity of Canada. I've seen it time and time again. What about New Zealand? What about Japan? What about all these other places where Indigenous people are? So, yes, it is a global thing, but we are leading the world in this. It's a profound thing to say and to think about, but we are the Yidinji in this little part of the world, and this little pale blue dot is leading the way to ensure settlement and peace and safety across the globe is going to get out there. So we're leading the way, and yes, it is hard and difficult, but it will be done.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing to say. But also, I don't think the forum would, if it was based on nonsense, would attract some of the speakers that we have coming this year.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, this is, it's the quality of those who are coming that are involved in it. That's why I said it's a diverse array of people from across Australia and the globe, you know, from the other side of the world. They are speaking in on it. They from Asia, from over in Europe, from in the US, from here. They're coming. And, you know, you've only got to look at those people. They aren't seen to be the village idiot of that area. You know, they're quite well esteemed, you know, academic scholars, for example. Why is the likes of Cotrope, you know, or Carolyn Matobi, or Ajmi Woods, or Fanner from Korea? Why are they so keen to want to be part of it? They can see the truth of the matter.
They can see the truth. Yurilim, I think this is, if we look down now, I think the forum will become an annual event up here. And similar to what we see with the G20 or even now BRICS Plus meeting, this is our version of that, and it's going to build and build and build.
Absolutely, and why wouldn't it? You know, because you've got something that is world leading. You know, it's not just the Yidinji way, but it's all the support and technologies that have been given and afforded to Yidinji. You know, I liken it to a close friend of mine, a world-renowned artist who first revealed his work, and the experts, you know, they looked at it and they had a look again. It was that good, you know. Yidinji's like that. You know, the people around the world are doing a double take. You know, this place is doing it the right way, and we are getting support and instruments that are allowing us to do it better than anyone else at the moment.
And some exciting things are happening here, like with Cybersyn and the first ever indigenous Yidinji computer operating system. There's a number of other things that are advancing, but not only that, but some of the things that we're sharing in terms of the central bank digital currencies and digital IDs, these are massive advancements for such a small nation.
Absolutely, which is, you know, exactly what I was talking about from the double take perspective with some of our speakers. They're speaking at the Yidinji event on Friday and Saturday because they've recognised how far advanced we are in those areas, and you know, the excitement of what's happening and what's going to come.
Well, that brings an end to the show today. We just want to say thank you very much for listening to us old blokes ranting. But you know, we hope you thoroughly enjoyed it, and more importantly, whether you agree with it or not, are informed with the Yidinji way of thinking in terms of the government, that is. We hope you enjoy the upcoming forum. Listen to that live via Bumabira Media, 98.7fm.com.au. You can listen to the live stream there this Friday. Anyway, we'll catch you next week. Gaibarak Alanundu. May God's peace be upon you in the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we'll catch you next week. Garu.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolled by, breezes blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, long-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place in just around by Mavio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, long-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place in just around by Mavio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for Stolen Generations survivors who were removed from their families or communities in the Northern Territory, ACT or Jervis Bay.